And then we'll settle on some verses here in just a moment. But we see in Genesis that God created Adam. And the Bible says he blessed him and then he gave him five mandates. And the first one was be fruitful. And as we've pointed out numerous times here of late on Wednesday evening together, that that was the first words that were spoken to human beings that ought to tell you how important those things are, not just to our purpose and destiny, our reason for existing, but how important it is for our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is fruitful. Amen. And he created us in his image and in his likeness. And then he empowered us. That word blessing, he blessed us. And that means he empowered us to succeed. He empowered us to prosper. You can study the Bible with different themes that run throughout the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. An obvious one is the blood covenant. And then, of course, God's kingdom and how he talks about kingdom throughout the Bible. And, of course, it was in Ezekiel when God was revealing all that stuff about kingdoms and the kingdoms that would come prophetically through Ezekiel. But then he said, but there's coming a day when our Father's going to give his kingdom to his children. Of course, that's speaking of the day that we live in now. And another way is you can study the scriptures by this blessing that was originally given to Adam and then Eve. And they sinned and lost that ability, but then it was restored back to Abraham and his descendants. And we see how it skipped Esau and went to Jacob. And so it's just fascinating. But then we see, of course, ultimately that blessing has now been placed upon those who've been born again. But remember, the blessing is not just, when I say not just, it does include all kinds of benefits and advantages for us. But it's an empowerment. And Brother Copeland helped me understand this perhaps better than anybody else by this simple statement. He said, I'm not blessed because I'm healed. I'm healed because I'm blessed. And so a lot of times we look at the good that happens in our lives as being a blessing. And I'm not saying that's wrong. It's like, man, you know, somebody does something nice for you, say, man, that's such a blessing. It is. But that limits, I think, our scope and understanding of what the blessing really is. And that is something that God placed upon mankind, supernatural empowerment from heaven to enable us and to empower us to do the very things that God created us to do. And so we were created to be fruitful. When Adam and Eve sinned, they separated themselves from God. And instead of the blessing, they experienced the curse. And so they have a desire to be fruitful, just like all of us. We were hardwired by God to be fruitful, and to be right, to be free. You know, all these things that are qualities in human beings, even those who don't know God, they still want to be free. Men and women, they want to be right. The desire in us to be right is so strong, we'll continue to argue that we're right even when we, in the back of our minds, know we're wrong. We just want to be right. Amen. And it's hardwired into us by God. Generosity. Everybody wants to be generous. Not everybody is. Now, again, some folks, they've calloused their hearts over by a life of selfishness and stinginess. But even people who don't know God, they talk about winning that $900 million lottery. And somewhere along the way, they get along to what they're going to do to help other people. And how they're going to, you know, use that wealth, overnight wealth to be a blessing. Because again, these things are part of the fabric, that exists within us by virtue of being created in the image and likeness of God. But the challenge now, of course, is we're hardwired to do something apart from God that we don't have the ability to do. But Jesus came to fix that. But we lived the wrong way for so many generations on planet Earth. And that ways other than God's ways became so established and so entrenched in people that we have to have our thinking, our minds renewed, reconditioned, because we've been conditioned to think a certain way and God's ways are different from man's ways. And so we have to, you know, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we cooperate, but we're not just here to do it by ourselves. We have the living and powerful Word of God. to help renew and recondition our minds. And then, of course, we have the Holy Spirit in us to lead us and guide us into the truth that Father has for our lives. I don't believe we can find truth without the Holy Spirit and without the Word of God. Now, there are people, and it's interesting, one of my dad's brothers who got born again late in life, he didn't know much about the Bible, but I remember he literally, just a baby Christian, got born again in the cabinet shop, you know. I remember him asking my mama, he said, why do I just want to lift my hands like this all the time? He didn't know the Bible said that, but notice it was in him to do that. But we see that, we have this desire, to do something and be something that we didn't have the ability to do and to be when we were separated from God. But now that's changed and we've been made one with God and we've been blessed by God. That blessing is now upon us. I'll show it to you in the scriptures here in just a moment. But what we need now then is a renewed mind. And as it relates to our current subject, God created Adam to tend in a garden full of abundance. And he told him he could freely eat from every tree in that garden except for one. Key word there, freely. Freely, just no strings attached. No, you know, it was God's heart for us from the very beginning. And that's what we've been restored back to now that we've been born again. We've been placed like Adam was in the midst of great abundance. But people in great abundance who still think like one who toils. And so that's what we see is that God created Adam, and I believe us, to tend the garden and keep it. But once we lost that blessing, God said, now you're no longer tending, you're now toiling by the sweat of your brow. It's a completely different approach to life and living. And it wasn't God's will for us, God's desire, intended purpose for us from the very beginning, nor was it his highest and best and intended purpose and desire for us all those years that we lived as toilers on planet Earth. And we even see, like, when Jesus calls the first disciples, Peter, remember the Bible said they had fished all night and caught nothing? But it doesn't say they fished all night and caught nothing. It says they toiled all night and caught nothing. And so we see that toiling is labor with no guarantee of results. I've said that a bunch of times, but I haven't said for some reason the other side of that. Tending is labor with guaranteed results. Tending is you're not spinning your wheels and wasting your time. When you're tending the way God created you to tend, there's always increase. There's always benefit, not just to you personally, but to others as well. But again, the challenge is we're now those who tend, but most of God's people still think like those who toil. And we talked about, and we'll continue to kind of share some different ways and angles on how that works and what that looks like in real life, real time. But I want to go back to this. Somebody who thinks like a toiler thinks never believes they have enough no matter how much they have. And that's a way to, it's one of the, anyway, let me just stick with that for a minute. Because they're looking through a lens of scarcity, through a lens of lack. And so doesn't matter how much they have, doesn't matter what they possess. I mean, they can have, in other words, a toiler who has nothing thinks like and sees the world like someone who has nothing. But the same is true with a toiler who has a lot. Still don't think they have enough, no matter how much they have. One who tends, again, the difference between the mindsets, someone who tends is someone who believes they always have enough, no matter how much they have. You see the difference there? One of the things that I like to study and have tried to learn a lot about and have to watch out because it can be dysfunctional is instead of writing a book, it's fun to learn about writing books and publishing books and things. And in the course of, you know, leading up to publishing becoming a threat to addiction, I read some books about publishing books and just trying to educate myself and lay of the land, best way to do it, most effective way to do it. And it's in my heart to help other people do it, use what the Lord's helped me learn. But there's one particular lady that, and she has a lot of free resources. And it really interested me that she tithes, but is not really even a believer. When she suggested to authors who are trying to find their niche and you know, generate income and things of that nature from their writings, one of the things that she suggested to them is to always give away 10% of whatever you make, and as you make money on the book. And she said, now, I know some of you are rolling your eyes and thinking I'm religious and all that stuff. She says, I'm not. She goes, I know some people do that because of religion and God. She said, I don't do it for that reason. She said, I do it because I believe that there's always more coming to me. And by me giving away 10% of my income, I'm acting on the belief that I have, that what I have now is not all I'm going to have. And so if I truly believe that what I have now is not all I'm going to have, then I'm going to act on that by giving 10% to charity and to help other people and do things of that nature. And I thought, man, this lady don't even know how close she is to the kingdom, you know, how close she is to the things of God. But notice though, what she's talking about here, she doesn't look through a lens of scarcity. She doesn't say, well, you know, I made really good on, she's written a bunch of books. She doesn't say, well, you know, I made really good on this book, but I mean, that money could run out and the next book I write, nobody buy it. So I better hold on. No, she's like, no, this book was a seller and my next one's going to sell even more. So let's give away some of this money and believing that there's always more coming. Amen. Man, I read that and I thought, man, sister, I wish some of God's people believe that. I mean, here's a lady that doesn't necessarily even know God, read the Bible or anything like that, but she believes. I mean, I'm not trying to say this about her, but you know, I've heard people talk about they have more faith in the universe helping them than some of God's own people have faith in God helping them. Lord help us. But see, that's at the root of that. And this is in some ways connected to and related to what we've been talking about on Sundays. We're talking about digging deep now. Amen. Things, mindsets, remember your soul is a valve. Your soul is a valve. And if the soul valve of your life, how you think, feel, and the choices you make, if they're dominated by a perspective of lack and scarcity and again, that's toiling, right? That, you know, don't matter how much we have, it's never enough. Man, do y'all see how the devil, that is so much the devil right there. People who can't enjoy what they have because they're afraid that they're not going to have any more and their best days are behind them. And I'll say, No. So a tender, one who tends, completely different from that. Again, their bank account can be full or it can be on the low side. They believe that they will always have enough. Are you with me? I heard somebody say it this way. You know, a friend of ours had lost his job and his wife was getting really panicked about it. And he's like, man, I wish you would lighten up. She goes, he said, I was looking for a job when I found that last one. You know, so, but again, that's in some ways, that's a tending mindset, right? That, hey, you know, I had a good job, but I'm fixing to get a better job. But notice there's faith connected with that, where fear of lack and failure and unknown and unbelief sees associated and is reinforces that toiling mindset. And so again, there's some really key things that are connected here. So let me do this. I'm not saying this to like boast or brag. I'm just trying to tell you how this has grown on me. I have 38 pages. Don't panic. Okay, we're not going to try to cover them all tonight. But there's just a lot to this. I mean, I've spoken in years past on the difference between toiling and tending, but it's like the Lord's brought us back around to this subject, and like some of the things, and some of those pages we've covered before, but we said last week that toiling is also synonymous with stress. But tending means we're not at stress, but we're at rest. And God literally wants us to work from a place of rest. And the place of rest is something internal, while the effort is taking place on the outside. And you say, well, that don't make a lot of sense to me, Pastor Mark. Okay, well then explain to me how somebody can have a lot of money and still think they don't have enough. Do you see? Notice it's you got the external reality, then you got the internal mindset and struggle. So let's do this. Praise God. I've got a lot of stuff, but there's a key. And really, this was some of the stuff that I moved up from what I thought we would cover later, but I really felt like the Lord would have us look at it tonight. This passage here in Matthew 10:7-8, where in verse number 8, that last part where Jesus says, freely you've received, freely give. Man, that few phrases better capture the mindset of one who tends, a tend, that's a tending mindset right there. That, you know, what did Jesus say? A man can receive nothing unless it's given to him by God. You know, everything I got right now, God gave me. And me and him just get started. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we in this thing, not just for the long haul, we in this thing forever. I'm his, he's mine. I'm in him, he's in me. You know, we're just, amen, you know. And so everything that I have, he gave me freely. But remember, it wasn't until these people began to give away what they were given that they really began to understand what it is that God had given to them. And so we looked at the passage in Genesis a few weeks ago. Well, I put it on the screen. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God, verse 16, commanded the man saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Then, of course, he's going to tell him the one he's not to eat. And I'm not trying to like do biblical sleight of hand here and leave that part out. But in my humble opinion, the one that God told him not to eat is the only one people ever talk about. You know, God told him, now don't eat that tree. Yeah, but before he told him don't eat that one, he told him, see, all the other ones you can eat from freely. See if this kind of echoes again prophetically, Isaiah 55:1-2. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. So he's telling them to come and eat freely. And not just the outward things of the flesh, but the inward things of the heart. Now, tending correlates with stewardship. And stewardship implies something to oversee. That may be a mouthful right there, but let me try to explain to you where we're headed with this. Jesus has restored us to tending, but one who tends, the implication there is that we have something to tend. One who toils is someone who, by the sweat of their face, they go out and they try to make something happen. They beat the bushes to try and get another day's survival, so to speak. Well, tending, remember, God created the heavens and the earth, and after all that, he put the garden there in Eden and filled it with every good thing, and then put Adam in the midst of that abundance and told him, now you tend all this that I just gave to you freely. So no, when he talks about stewardship, the idea behind a steward is that you're tending or taking care of something that already exists, and even potentially something that belongs to somebody else. And you know, technically it all does belong to God, but God has now freely given all that to Adam for him to enjoy. So let's build on this for a minute. Tending correlates with stewardship, and stewardship implies something to oversee. So here's just a few thoughts, all right? You can't be a steward over nothing. Tending a fire is different from starting one. Tending a fire implies a fire already exists, right? Back when we lived in Hueytown, for the most part, heated, mom and dad, their home there, they heated it with wood, you know. And so we're no stranger to building fires and, you know, mom and dad are out or whatever, that, you know, don't forget to put a log on the fire, you know. Well, again, if you've ever like tried to start a fire from scratch, it's not as easy as they make it look on television. Especially indoors. I mean, you don't really want to bring any gasoline in the house, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you can tend one after you get it going. Somebody else did the work of getting it started. Your responsibility is just to keep it going. That's, again, I'm trying to help you see what tending is from a lot of different angles. So tending a fire implies a fire already exists. You can't be a steward over nothing. Tending a fire is different from starting one. So now, in the same way, you can't manage an account that has nothing in it. So if you have someone, and I'm speaking by faith for some of you, but let's just be faith. Let's call things to be not as though they are. Okay. If you have someone who manages your investments for you, your financial investments for you, the idea is that there's something in those accounts that they're tending. Somebody who understands markets and investments and all the different, you know, tax shelters and stuff of that nature. There's somebody who's, you know, went to school for this kind of stuff. They understand. They know way more about it than you do. Somebody you trust. If you've ever heard the term fiduciary, this is a financial manager who's taken a vow to always do what's in your best interest, not theirs. But again, the idea, you don't say, hey, I want you to manage this account for me. So, okay, great. How much is in there? Oh, there's nothing in there right now, but I just need you to manage it. Well, so they can't tend account or manage an account that's empty. All right. So the implication is that now that God has put us in a position to tend again means that there are things that he's given to us to manage and to oversee. The parable of the talents, and it was the talents were in Matthew, I think the minas, not miners, like M-I-N-A-S. I think Luke had that version of it. I don't know if it's the same parable, different interpretations, or two different ones that Jesus told the story about. But if you're familiar with that parable, it begins with the distribution of the talents. These three men were not told to go find their own talents. And then once you find them, whatever you can get your hands on, do something with it. Well, let's look at it. Matthew 25, 14 and 15. For the kingdom of heaven is like, man, Jesus begins so many parables with that phrase, for the kingdom of heaven is like. Anytime you read that, your ears need to perk up because that's the kingdom that you're in right now. He's talking about how things work in the kingdom that you're in right now and the kingdom that's in you right now. Because we're in the kingdom and the kingdom is in us. And by the way, being placed in the midst of great abundance as one who tends, he has given you his kingdom, Luke 12 and 32. He's put his kingdom in you and he's given his kingdom to you. You think Adam was surrounded with great abundance. So anytime Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this, you need to pay really close attention because he's talking about how life works for you now. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So notice, this parable begins with distribution. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, and to another he gave 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Now, as we take the whole Word of God, one of the principles that's connected to this is that Jesus said, if you will prove yourself faithful in what belongs to another man, you position yourself for 2 things, that which is truly yours and that which is yours and true riches. Wow. Wow. All right. So this is not an unusual or uncommon thing in the kingdom. And if you notice, they were not all given the same number of talents. The talents were distributed according to their ability. And God knows that we all have different abilities. But we also see that God's plan, we could say increase and fruitfulness, I believe are synonymous. You can say related, but I believe they're even synonymous. Fruitfulness. So the idea here is that he's giving these men something to tend, to invest, to work with. What is tending? Tending is cultivating, developing, taking what you've been given and using it to produce or to make more of it, right? So he gave them talents and they used talents to produce more talents. And the talents were given to them according to their ability. Now, here's the thing, okay? And I don't want anybody feeling awkward about this. But you do realize that not everybody has the same ability. And there's different reasons for that. Some of us, you know, just we think differently than others. We had a wonderful meeting last night and Amy Isbell was there. She's talking about some different things. And that girl loves math. And I love her, but I don't love math. Are you hearing me? In other words, that's not one of my abilities. Are you hearing me? My covenant son, Jay, he loves math. My brother loves math. I'm thankful there are people on planet Earth that love math. Because somebody's got to take care of the math. But I ain't that one. Amen. So we all have different abilities. Are you with me? Some folks are just, even the Bible talks about the gift of hospitality. That don't mean if you're not gifted in that area that you should be rude to people, but for some folks, hospitality just comes natural to them. There's actually the gift of giving. Again, if giving's not easy for you or natural to you, that doesn't mean you're exempt from giving. But man, some people just, it's just a gift. It comes easy for them, okay? So the Bible's very clear about this. We all have different abilities. We have gifts from Jesus, we have gifts from the Holy Spirit, we have gifts from the Father. And we're all different. And so that's a beautiful thing. Okay. But here's what you got to understand is Father wants to put you in a position with the idea of promoting you. Right? Amen. So he didn't give the guy who had 2 talent ability, 5 talents. He won't overwhelm him. But he did know that if that guy would take the talents equal to his ability and do his best with them, it would position him for promotion. Are you seeing this? Okay. So God will meet you where you are. Aren't you glad? But he don't want to leave you like he found you. He'll meet you where you are, but he wants you to be fruitful. And we even see from parables that Jesus taught. And the branches that are fruitful, he's gonna prune and correct and sharpen so that it will be even more fruitful. And one of the things that we see is that, like with grapevines, fruit only bears on the new growth. Amen. And so when that vine is pruned, it initially looks like it's had a setback. It was Pam's faith, not mine, but she loves to buy. It's that mothering thing. She got 3 helpings of that from God. Amen. And she loves to, Kim, she'll go to Lowe's and she goes to the clearance plants and she buys those plants that are like almost dead, you know, for a dollar, you know. I'm like, baby, you know, we blessed. We can buy a $3 one that looks good. And she don't want that one. She wants the one. And so she got these gardenia bushes. I'm telling you, I didn't say it because I've learned, just get in agreement with her. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, them thing's dead. I mean, that thing's dead. And she wanted me to plant them on either side of the front porch. I'm like, baby, can we put them in the back? So if it, you know, I said, amen. We're going to make a statement, you know. It's going to be beautiful gardenia bush, whatever, you know. And so one of them did pretty good. The other one kind of sprung to life, and then it like looked worse than dead. But man, she just kept on, right? And so she says, you need to cut it back. I'm like, ain't much there to cut, baby. You know? But see, she knew that we had to kind of get it back to a place where it could handle what it had and feed what it had. And now it's just as healthy as they'd be. Now it's like, got to cut them because they're overtaking the porch. And man, them things, they smell so good when they're, God is amazing, isn't he? What he does. But you know, sometimes when you prune something, it's like, I got these Laura petalums. I made the mistake. I've done this a couple times. I bought these Leland's. Anybody heard of a Leland? Should have talked to you, Marty. You know about this stuff and I do, but Costco had Leland's. I thought, man, you know, I need some. We was redoing the flower beds in front of the house. Costco had them like for $50 and they're about this tall. I thought, man, that's a good deal, you know? So I planted those Leland's on the corners, you know, anchor points, you know, and I'm going to fill in with other stuff. So I went to that wholesale place down there in Bessemer and, I told the guy I had a drawing. I said, what I had? He goes, how big's your house? I said, I mean, it's pretty big. And, you know, he says, you do know that Leland's going to get 60 feet tall, don't you? I went, no. But anyway, so I planted Laura petalums in between the Leland's where I had to extract them boogers. They about took over my house. But man, that first time I pruned them, I like, oh man, I went too deep, you know. But you know, everywhere you cut it, it sprouts out 3 or 4 more. And so anyway, fruitfulness, this man's, he's want these servants to be fruitful. And so notice he begins with distribution. And this is the kingdom of heaven is like this. In other words, Father God has already given you things. And talent here is a monetary measure, but I don't think it's coincident that it can also have that dual meaning. There's different ideas about it. Common practice is to call a talent $1,000 US. I mean, that's just a random number. I mean, money's relative. $1,000 isn't what it used to be. Thank God for it, but you know what I'm saying. Penny's not what it used to be, right? What penny, right? Anyway, but So, but I think it also is not just money, right? He's given us like talents, individual talents, musical talents, administrative talents, so forth and so on. Okay. Now, I keep getting to this point and we start running out of time, but attending mindset and the resulting lifestyle must begin with the recognition and acknowledgement of what has been freely given to you by God. This is where the transition from toiling to tending, it has to begin here. It has to begin. Or elsewise, think about it. You can't tend nothing. That's that whole point about you tend to fire, meaning there's a fire already there and you're tending it. So as long as you see yourself as trying to become something you're not, trying to make something of yourself, trying to get healed, trying to dig your way out of a hole, trying to see, that's toil. That's toil. Tending, on the other hand, says, look what God has done for me. Look what God has given to me. I'm not trying to make something of myself. He's already made something of me. My position now is to cultivate and develop that with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I'm not trying to make myself righteous. He made me righteous. He put me in the midst of righteousness. So I'm not trying to make myself right with God. And Lord knows I toiled at that for a lot of years. Amen. Thinking it was all up to me. It was all based upon what I do, how good I can be, how far away I can stay from sin, and how close I can walk with God, and how many hours a day I read my Bible, how many hours a day I spend in prayer, and how many this. And so my understanding of my righteousness, it rose and fell based upon my performance. That's toiling. That's toiling. Tending says, I couldn't be any more righteous than I am right now. So Holy Spirit and Holy Word of God, Jesus, help me cultivate that and develop that into an expression of life. That's tending. That's tending. Are you seeing it? So a tending mindset and the resulting lifestyle must begin with a recognition and acknowledgement of what has been freely given to us by God. And until we take this crucial step, we will continue to approach life as toilers. And now this is where another important truth comes into play here. So we must use faith to recognize and acknowledge what has been freely given to us by God. We must use faith to recognize, not what we see with our eyes, not how much actual cash you may have on hand. Okay, that's what a toiler looks at. A toiler looks at, okay, this is what I've got, and this is how far it'll go, and got to set some aside for a rainy day. We should save money. We should be financially responsible. So don't hear something I'm not trying to say tonight. But one who tends doesn't just see the account balance at the credit union. One who tends sees all that God has done for them, all that God has made them, all that God has given to them, and they respond based upon that. Now, our go-to here at Heritage, in a lot of ways in discipleship class over the years, is we take the singular quality of righteousness because it's so important. Our fellowship with God is based upon our right standing with God. Ultimately, God created us to have fellowship with Him, to be a part of His eternal community. But we can't experience that and enjoy that unless we're right with God. And so Jesus made us right with God, so much so that He has made us His righteousness. We have the same right standing with God as Jesus. And this isn't based upon what we've done. It's based upon what Jesus did for us and the gift that He gave us. Okay? When I say it's our go-to, This is one aspect of many inward realities of the new birth. Okay. So I'm not trying to make myself righteous. I believe that I have been made righteous based upon what the mirror of God's word says about me. Right? So now, I believe that's true. Not that I'm the unrighteous trying to be righteous. That's toiling. I'm trying to make myself something that I'm not. I'm trying to achieve something that I haven't yet accomplished. And bless God, you give me long enough, I'm going to pull it off, right? See, that's toiling. That's toiling. Tending, that's working from a place of potentially not getting the results, okay? Tending says, there's no way I could be any more righteous than I am right now than the righteousness. There's no one more righteous ever will be than Jesus, and I've been given his righteousness, okay? So now I'm not trying. That doesn't mean there isn't any effort associated, but see, I'm working from a place of rest, and the rest is, I didn't make myself righteous. I can't keep myself righteous. I am righteous for one reason and one reason only. What Jesus has done for me and gave me and made me by his grace, his blood, right? And so now based upon that place of rest, I can confidently cultivate and develop righteousness into the way I live and the way I respond to God and to other people. That's tending. Abundant righteousness. Are you following me? It's not just like some light version or reduced version. I mean, again, it's the greatest righteousness that there will ever be for all of eternity, and it's mine. Amen. All right. I mean, that's, again, he put Adam in the midst of great abundance and told him to tend. He put you and me in the midst of great righteousness. He says, now tending. Now tend, right? Cultivate it, develop it. Because he made me right, I can live right. I can live free because he made me free. Amen. Amen. All right, stand with me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm not backing off the idea of abundant supply. Remember now, I know you're standing. I'll be quick, okay? I said that righteousness is one of our first go-tos when we teach on these things and explain the bigger picture, the bigger pattern. But the same God who made you righteous made you rich. I mean, are you following me now? Thank you for those couple of amens, but not everybody agrees with that. Not everybody even agrees with the righteousness part, despite what the Bible says. But the same pattern, the same principle, the same truth applies to everything that God's done for us. He didn't tell you to go find your own righteousness any more than he told those men to go find their own talents. He distributed to them talents. And he didn't just distribute righteousness to you and me. He made us righteous. Now he says, take what I've given you and be fruitful. Does the Bible not talk about bearing the fruits of righteousness? Yeah. Amen. Fruits of righteousness. Fruits of who you are. Cultivating and developing. A lot of that has to do with cultivating and developing that new lifestyle. Amen. All right, we'll talk more about it. Father, we love you. Man, you're so good to us, Jesus. I said this to the class earlier, Lord, and you inspired me to say it there, and I'm going to say it again here tonight. We are all doing so much better than we understand yet. Devil tries to tell us we're not going to make it. Devil tries to tell us that we're not going to have enough, that we're going to fail, and trying to get us back into that toiling mindset, Father. Lord, the only way we don't make it is if we quit. And even then, Lord, we born again, I believe, still going to heaven, Father. Just the devil's trying to get us struggling rather than resting. Father, I thank you that you have redeemed us from the curse. You've redeemed us from toiling. You've restored us to tending. And I thank you that you're showing and revealing, Lord, the different areas in our lives and mindsets, Lord, where this needs to be changed and renewed, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I don't know if I said it already, but let me say it. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Know that you're loved. Know that Jesus is Lord. Good things coming. I sure hope you're going to be here Sunday. It's a great time. One of my favorite events of the year is Family of Faith. You be blessed and have a great evening.